Shabbos, Yerotzen, She, Yisku, Hero, Spino, the Rav Nachas, Ren,
Good morning, everyone. Thank you for the opportunity. A day before election to be speaking about leadership, huh? It always happens in Parshas Korach. I find myself speaking at this time of year. And interesting enough, there's always some sort of argument to selection process, some leadership context. It's always around this time of year. You get a sense that the Musa Haskell is there to be learnt and be experienced. And of course, Korach's taina is a very interesting one. Korach's taina is Rav Lachem, ki kol ha'eda kulam kadoshim. We all stood on Harsinai. HaKadosh Baruch Hu spoke to Gantz Klal Yisrael. The entire Jewish nation were taking out of Mitzrayim. Ki kol ha'eda kulam kadoshim. It's a very, very fair taina. It's a very fair taina. And interestingly enough, if you go a little bit into some deeper ideas, you'll see that actually there's an enormous difference between how we view leadership, and Korach correctly points out we're all holy, and how other aspects of society view leadership as well. Klal Yisrael have just come out of Mitzrayim. Mitzrayim, led by Pharaoh, and I once saw a very interesting idea, that their motto, as if to say, go visit Egypt and visit the pyramids. The pyramids are very big at the bottom, and very, very small at the top. Because Pharaoh, the king, the god in his eyes, believed that the leader is right at the very, very top. And the purpose is everything below him is there in order to support him. So the bottom is a support for the top. The bottom is subservient to the top. And there's a class system. There's a caste and class system, which is nearly impossible to get out of. Which is, if you're at the bottom, you're not going to get to the top. And that finds itself in all different sorts of societies. Now it's not Erev Purim, but it's very interesting that Haman, the Achashverosh, as if to say, had to marry into the Mishpocha, giving himself, even though he's a great soldier, that gives him an exit, because divinely decided which Mishpochas are going to be ruling. And everything at the bottom is there to subservie itself to that which is the top. Interesting enough, in Klal Yisrael, our leadership is very, very different indeed. Very different indeed. That everything at the top has an obligation to make sure that everything at the bottom is looked after. That the people at the very top actually become servants to the Klal. They actually become subservient to the Klal. Of course, ultimately, we're all subservient to the Eibishter. But a person gets a job in Rabbonis, a person gets a job in leadership, a person becomes a Gabbai Vashul. At the end of the day, they have to realize and appreciate they have an enormous responsibility to all the people who, as if to say, they're representing. I'm not going to go into any political discussion right now. That's not the time. No, I'm not taking sides. But I will point out, from a constitutional perspective, it's very, very interesting that you can have in this country a member of parliament who's also the Prime Minister, a member of a local constituency who needs to have his concerns, has his surgery hours where he meets the nanny down the road and his cousin and the people who are in difficulty, and at the same time has got to be leader over everybody. It's a very interesting flip side. I think maybe he was inspired, or they were inspired, by certain aspects of Yiddishkeit, because in Yiddishkeit, our symbol's much more, if theirs is a pyramid in Pharaoh's world, then Yiddishkeit is much more of a symbol, perhaps, of a menorah. And it's very interesting because the symbol of the menorah has found itself outliving nearly any other symbol in Judaism, in as much as post the Beis HaMikdash, post the Mishkan, the Beis HaMikdash, post the Beis HaMikdash, Chanukah, v'chula v'chula. And the menorah is very different. Menorah is very, very big at the top, and it just gets smaller and smaller as it gets to its root, into its central point, as if to say. That the leadership has got to make sure that it's looking after constantly all those who are, it is subservient to. Very fascinating insight. So when Korach says that we are all holy, Lemaisi's got it right. Lemaisi's got it right. Where he's got it wrong, Soloveitchik points out where he's got it wrong, well, the various places he's got it wrong, but one of the places he's got it wrong is, you're right, we're all holy, right? What are we told? That we should be a mamleches koyanim v'goy kodosh. And the Rav Hirsch translates it is, mamleches koyanim means a kingdom of those who are serving. Interesting. Fits in beautifully to what we're saying. That those people in positions of responsibility have to serve, and actually everybody has a responsibility to serve. The only thing is, we're all very, very different. And we've all got different roles and responsibilities. There's some of us who are conductors, and some of us who are musicians. There's some of us who are musicians playing first violin, and there are others who are playing percussion. But each one of us has an important role to play, kulam kadoshim, but you do need to have those who are leading the orchestra. And it's very interesting because Moshe Rabbeinu, when he's choosing, telling HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we need a leader to take over for me, Vaydabe Moshe el Hashem leimor, Yivkad Hashem elukei aruchos l'chol bosa, Chazal explains, you understand that everybody's different and each person has their own natures, their own personalities, that elukei aruchos l'chol bosa, you have to help me find ish al ha'eda, such a being who's able to lead such a people, but at the same time understand the realities of the people which he's dealing. Asher yetzel lifnehem, who's going to be suitable to take them out to battle, and according to the Sefano, Asher yovel lifnehem, who's going to be able to bring them back to peace. Who's going to have to understand the different soldiers, who's going to fight in different positions, and he's also got to understand, when we live in a peaceful society, the different responsibilities that different people have. And you may have an individual who's held a great rank as a soldier when he's out there in battle, but he may not be suitable to hold such a great rank when he's in the world of peace. I remember hearing I had the schus to have a connection with Simcha Wasserman, one of the Levrocha, and he once gave this very strong speech about, similar to what I'm sharing, about the importance of every individual, and everybody's got a role. And he used the analogy, actually, of an army. And this one's the captain, and this is the foot soldier, beautifully. At the end of his speech in America, a clergyman from the Reform movement was very, very taken by it. Why he came to hear Rabbi Simcha, I don't know, but he was very taken. He said to him, Rebbe, I was so touched, and he was quite a well-known individual, I was so touched to hear that every one of us has got a role to play in the army. So he looked to Rav Simcha and said, you know, foot soldier, tell me, what position am I in the army? And Rav Simcha looked at him and said, you're a deserter. Which came from a depth of incredible love, but the point here is a very strong taina that Korach have, which is we're all holy. As Rav Soloveitchik says, we're all holy, but each one of us have very different obligations and very, very different responsibilities. And as we look at that menorah, we remind ourselves the obligations that each one of us have. But we also remind ourselves the obligations of leader to be sensitive to each one of us as well. And it's fascinating because when you look at Moshe Rabbeinu, the ultimate leader of Klal Yisrael, you'll see that the Lashon Anova, Lashon humility, is repeated very, very often in regards of his name. That means the greatest leader of Klal Yisrael, as we know, Anov Mikol Adam, was humble enormously. You also find Klapi Yeshua, the language of Anova, which has also been used a couple of times. And interesting enough, you find it Klapi our kings as well. That means the king of Klal Yisrael has to be a leader, has to be a fighter, but there's also a great deal of responsibility for him in his moral, spiritual standing. But he also has to be careful that Rome, that your heart doesn't become haughty and you don't see yourself so much greater than the people around you. And the Rambam in Hilchos Melachim describes to us so beautifully how we're going to have to live within these two worlds. Interesting enough, the Torah, when it's talking about a couple of weeks ago in the Parsha, it's talking about defining and deciding who's going to be in the Sanhedrin. The Torah says to us, "Vayomer Hashem Moshe, Osfer li shivim ish mizikne Yisrael. Choose me shivim ish." The Forshim asked the question, "Shivim ish, shivim anoshim, shivim ish." So interesting language, and the various explanations used to describe what that is. I heard once a very sweet and beautiful idea that Lashon Ish is used in Tanakh in different ways. On the one hand, it says Hashem Ish Milchoma. Yeah? On the other hand, with regards to Moshe Rabbeinu, it says that Moshe Rabbeinu was an ish, but he was onov mikol ha'odom. And this person explained it was based on an idea that from Rabbi Yaakov Weinberg, and he said the beautiful idea. He said, on the one hand, leadership has to be ish milchoma, and the other has to be onov aniva, humility as well. Somehow you've got to find that incredible balance. You've got to have this definite commitment and dedication, but there has to be that side of humility with the person always at this time. So I did miss out on the build-up to the elections and who's going to represent each party, but we know ultimately who's representing our party, and anybody in responsibility who's been given that obligation by HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to somehow combine the both of them. And the Rambam in Hilchos Malachim describes it so incredibly. We've got to realize who our kings were and the power which was invested in kings. Says the Rambam in Perek Beis Halacha Vav, Kederach Shecholek La'akosav HaKovod HaGodol. Just like the Torah gives enormous honor, enormous respect, enormous greatness, Kovod and Godol to the king, and each one of us, when the king comes in, when any great person, we have to show an enormous humility and subjugate ourselves. Inside of that king, at the self same time as everybody bowing and whatever you want, Mr. Get anything, the self same time the king has to have in his heart, shofar v'cholo. And it brings a pasuk, v'libi cholo b'kibi, v'lo yinag. Gus the slave, and he has to be very careful not to be too haughty by Yisrael. Yesamidai, more than it's necessary. And he has to show Rachmonis to Ktanim and Gudoilim. And he has to make sure that he looks after everything in their needs. And he has to be Yachas, I'll cover cotton. And he has to be miyachas, he has to have sensitivity and relate to the needs of the smallest of the small. An incredible idea. That on the one hand, we have to show incredible cover to this individual, he's the king. And on the other hand, he has to make sure that he's not showing. And how does the way that you ensure that you're, as if to say, not showing off, you remain humble. You remain humble. Not an easy thing to do. Not an easy thing to do. And I have to just tell you on a very personal level, Baruch Hashem, I was zoche to run a moisid for many, many years. It's very interesting. And when I chose to change and move, a very interesting thing happens. You're running a moisid, and you go into a gathering of Rabbonim. You're running this moisid, you got yourself a seat here, whatever it is, and you're at the top. And this person is the head of whatever. It's very interesting that if you're not running the moisid anymore, it's very interesting how quickly you get a back seat. Now, if you're Godel, that doesn't happen. The Chofetz Chaim, that never happened to. Because the Chofetz Chaim was so great in his own right, he wasn't defined by the institution that he was running. I've got a long, long way to go, but it's a fascinating journey. The people do respect positions of authority, but they often respect the position of authority more than they respect the person in the position of authority. David Melech Yisrael, Chai V'Kayim, because he is respected as the person, even greater, as if to say, than just the position that is in. It's a very, very deep idea and a very relevant idea in our lives. And this concept of being looking after the great and the small, it takes us, of course, all the way back to the very beginning of the choice of Moshe Rabbeinu as leader. Not only is he fighting with the Eibishter, I don't want the job, which is always a very good sign of a Torah-dika leader. There must be somebody else. And of course, we all know the stories about people like the Chazon Ish, who managed to hide his greatness until the point later on in his life where we need you. And b'mokim shenei ish, hishtadal yos ish. But it's not that I have to enforce myself on the community. It's when the community force me because I'm going to work for them. That's the position where I jump forward and I take responsibility. And of course, the famous Medrash Chazal, which talks about the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu is looking after the sheep, and he's caring for the sheep, and one of the sheep runs off. Moshe Rabbeinu runs off, and the Medrash says, the Eibishter says, he's so caring and concerning for that little sheep. Such a person is suitable to be the leader of Klal Yisrael. Always bothered me, that Medrash, because I know a lot of people are like animals, who are not necessarily suitable as leaders. The fact you look after a runaway sheep or your dog gets in trouble is not a convincing argument necessarily for it. But I once heard, actually, from Rabbi Bulman, Zichron Rochel, if I remember correctly, he said, no, you have to see the hemshich of the Pesukim. The first thing we see from Moshe Rabbeinu is he's living in Paro's house, and he goes out one day and he sees a Yid being beaten up by a non-Jew. Now, he doesn't know the Yid, necessarily. He doesn't know the non-Jew, necessarily, but that bothers him. That really, really bothers him. So Moshe Rabbeinu gets involved in it, and he helps the Yid. The next day he comes out and he sees two Yidden fighting. Ooh, that bothers him as well. So I'm going to get involved. Then you see Moshe Rabbeinu running off to Midian, and you see that Zipporah, a non-Jewish woman, is being bothered and bullied by the non-Jewish shepherds. Ooh, that bothers him as well. So you have a hemshech advarim. You see, deep down in the essence of Moshe Rabbeinu, he's a loving, caring, giving, who knows Barlam chavera. And then he's looking after the animals. So just because a person doesn't look after the animals, but you see the character development, you see the personality that's coming out, that's a leader of Klal Yisrael. Of course, when Aaron HaKohen dies, we know that Gantz Klal Yisrael mourn for him. Why did Gantz Klal Yisrael mourn for him? Because he was a marriage guidance counselor. And the Kohen Gadol, the holiest Jew, can only go into the Kodesh Kedoshim on Yom Kippur. He alone can go, and everybody would naturally revere such a holy person, want to connect with such a... You know what our holy Jew is? Somebody who hears there's a broikas in somebody's family, he wants to go and do what he can to create a hechadimsa, to convince the people that actually the other side didn't need it. Gives you an insight of what's expected and what the greatness of our leaders as well. And as the Rambam points out, that you should go for the cotton shibakatonim, the most smallest, insignificant person. And I have to tell you, very interestingly, the same Godel who looks after Gantz Klal Yisrael and is worried about raising millions of pounds and dollars for his moysed, at the same time, he has to be sensitive and aware of the needs of every single individual, whatever they're going through. I remember when I was running the JLE, Solis came up for sale. Mr. Solly had passed away and it came up for sale, and I was interested in maybe extending a little bit. Okay, now they're extending in different ways, but I was interested in buying the building next door. And there was a bit of battle went on. It's now historical, so I can go into some of the details. I think we're past the 7-year rule or whatever it may be, so I'm okay on this, and there's no Loshon Hara at all. And there were a couple of property developers who wanted to buy it. It's very difficult for Moisid to compete with property developers. You know, you get planning permission, you get a bit of a change, and things make a dramatic difference. Somebody was once playing chess with a property developer, and the property developer took his castle, and okay, we thought the game's going to carry on. Comes for the property developer's move again, and he's taking time, whatever it is. And the other guy said, look, excuse me, but I've made my move, it's time for you to make your move. What's the problem? He said, look, I've taken your castle and now I'm trying to get planning permission to turn it to a block of flats. And that's going to take time. So it's really difficult to compete with people in that development. So I went to Rabbi Yaakov Hiller. He was visiting England. It's August and Tishtak, he should be well. And I asked him, like, at what stage is it irresponsible from Stocker to start pushing and pushing and pushing? So he said to me, we spoke about an amount. He said, after that amount, you shouldn't be fighting necessarily for it. And then just en passant, by the way, I mentioned to him afterwards that Solly had passed away and his wife, the widow, was selling the property. He said, oh, you didn't say it was a widow who was selling the property. You can pay a bit more for it. Interesting. Interesting. So there's two dinim. There's a din of Hilchos Stocker, how much you're allowed to pay. There's another din, but Nebuch, this person may be needing to live off it. So if you can get it, you should pay a little bit extra because... Incredible example of this. And you know what's fascinating is that when you look through the Torah, you see this concept of the cotton and the godel. The cotton and the godel always being mentioned. We know that we saw by Parshas Yisro, when Moshe Rabbeinu discussing with Yisrael, the small, the big, by us it's all one thing. By us it's all one thing. In Parshas Noach, we have the famous event of the Migdal Bovel. Migdal Bovel? To build a great tower block which is going to reach up to Shemayim. Going to reach up to Shemayim. Interesting enough, in a sort of similar vein, as if to say that we were speaking about that ultimately, perhaps Nimrod wants to be at the top, and he ultimately will get you all to build the building. Naselonu shame, but I quite like to be at the top, and I'm going to do the battle. I once took a number of investment bankers on a trip to Eretz Israel. This was in the 1990s, and the background, actually two or three of them went together. And the background to the story is a very interesting one, that they and I were learning together. And we were learning Musa, character development, Musa Sishorim, and that was what they wanted to learn, and we were learning it. And one of them said, this is, as I said, in the 1990s, one of them says, there's certain professions where you cannot possibly achieve what he's asking you to achieve, like investment banking. That's what he said to me. He said, the level of Menschlichkeit and the level of being mavata, and it's just, you can't do that and be an investment banker at the same time. That's what he said to me. So I said, you know, it's a good question. When you have a chance, I'd like to go to the Gedolim and ask the question, is it true that any profession you can find Kedusha in, or there's certain things, you know, which is it possible to be a traffic warden and be a nice person? Is that Tata de Sastri or not? Like, is it possible, you know, be married to a traffic warden? Where did you put the knife and fork? You put it on the wrong side, you're going to get a... Are there certain issues there which make it impossible to deal with it? And Taka, we went around Gedolim, very, very interesting, and I don't have time now to go into details of what the Gedolim had to say in response. But one of the people we went to see was with Shlomo Breveda, Zichron Levrocha. Now, just to give you the background, the people I was taking were not that yeshivish, were not that stark, they were beginning their journey, but they wanted to hear what the great of the Jewish people had to say about it. And they asked the question, investment banking, and Shlomo Breveda said to them, have you ever heard of Migdal Bovel? Yeah? So Chazal say something which is akin to what investment banking is about. I thought, oh goodness me, where are we going? Not sure this is going to be such a great entree for their spiritual journey. He said that if a brick fell, they mourned. And if a person fell, no, person falls. If the brick falls, nebuch. If the person falls, well, there's another person, they're replaceable. He said, I had a Talmud who worked for 20 years for a well-known investment bank. He said, and he was doing very well, he was loved, and his profits were very good. Until one year, he didn't have such a good year, things weren't amazing, and like that, he was out. Because if the money falls, oy vavoyli. If you fall, no, you're replaceable. You're replaceable. And Reb Breveda looked at these men and he says, you're right. There are certain trades which, unfortunately, they put their money before they put the people. They put the bricks before they put the people. That can never be a trade where it's possible to reach the greatness that the Masilas Hashem is speaking about. Very interesting. And as we left there, I thought to myself, oh my goodness me, he's given them such musa. You know, and they were actually supporting the Mosad as well, you can imagine as well. What's going to be? And they both said, this is the clearest, most honest answer we've heard today, to date. And it's 100%, it's mamish emes. That leadership is willing to sacrifice, unfortunately, people for its ideals, for its goals. Yiddishkeit is not willing to sacrifice people. Every human important to person is important. The yosem, the almona, the oni, everybody's got to roll. And somehow the leader of Klal Yisrael has got to have the ability to be sensitive to all of those things and also see the entire whole as well. Not a simple thing. But Elokei, the chol bosa, who understands what every flesh is, only such a person can find me a leader who's going to take over from me afterwards. Because we're a menorah. The menorah is that once we had taken upon ourselves responsibility, then we have to realize it's an obligation, and we get enormous siyata dishmaya, but together with that comes an enormous responsibility to look after Klal Yisrael, to look after the people. And of course, the language which is used with Yeshua is Klal Yisrael shouldn't be like sheep which don't have any shepherd. And it's fascinating, of course, that our leaders in the Torah were, of course, shepherds as well. In Parshas Bahalei Secha, and of course, we're looking at leadership, and we're looking at the Parshas around the sedras which we're in. In Parshas Baloisacha, the Torah famously starts with Dabel Aaron Vamate Elov Baloisacha Esaneris. And of course, that Aaron was upset, he hadn't had a job to play, and so him and his Shevet came forward. I once saw a very interesting point, by the way, which is that him and his Shevet didn't have a role to play. Well, Moshe Rabbeinu was also in Shevet Levi. Interesting. So why isn't he also coming forward and saying, on behalf of Shevet Levi, we haven't a job to say? And I once heard a group of Rabbonim and leaders, because once Moshe Rabbeinu becomes the leader of Klal Yisrael, then he has to sort of give in his Levi card to an extent and say, no, I'm here on behalf of Klal Yisrael. Aaron will represent the Shevet Levi. Very interesting idea. And of course, what we're talking here about Baal Oisecha is the famous Rashi, which tells us that the leader, the Kohen, has to hold the light to the menorah until he's absolutely convinced that the light is there, and then he can lead it. In other words, that there's a Hemshech. There's another vort as well, Baal Oisecha, which of course is the Aliyah, is that there was a step leading up to the menorah. The question which is asked is, there was a step leading up to the menorah, but it wasn't that high. You could have gone like that to light the menorah as well. And one of the answers which is given is, and this is in chinuch, and this is leadership, is all whatever it is, that the leader, the mechanech, the rebbe, the kohen, has got to look deep, deep into the menorah to make sure it's clean and understand everything and see everything that's going on within the menorah as well. It's not good enough to just go like that. You've got to have a good view and a good look in everything that's going on. Korach was mistaken in his desire for leadership for all the other reasons that we know. But the one thing that we agree with him is Kulam Kadoshim, and ultimately the job of the leader is to appreciate the Kulam Kadoshim. What can I do to be Mekadesh Shem Shemayim by ensuring that I take my responsibilities correctly? Have a wonderful day. Thank you very much.